Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever we are in. It is afternoon now in the Eastern Time Zone, and we have the Hour of Truth here. I'm Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall to my right, and James Usler, who is at the Elberton, Georgia Annex. So, welcome, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, afternoon, right after morning.
It's always good to notice we're all on the same same track. Well, it's been an interesting week, a busy week, a lot of stuff happening, a lot of a lot of stuff, a lot of challenges, a lot of opportunity for the Lord to show himself. So, what, if anything, is on y'all's minds?
Well, it's interesting to listen to Steve there a bit, and the one of the things is that he mentioned is, look, it's not that we sit back and wait for God to step out in faith for us. It's a choice that we do. We step out in faith, and we step out in faith not in what is so-called faith. We step out into something, and we call it faith. No, it's a stepping out according to his word. And I thought that was an interesting point that Steve brought up there. James, it looks like you were about to say something.
Well, Paul was saying, Paul was talking about, you know, situations for the Lord to move, and it just made me remember, you know, that the Lord is beautiful for situation, and he is well able to overcome anything. He's already won the war. We just have to, as you said, in faith, fight our battle.
Amen. He's what Steve was saying was he's not obligated to move on our movement, but he's committed to moving upon his movement, upon his commitment, and that's a lot more stable a place than ours is so frequently all over the place, and it is part of his revealed faithfulness that we can trust him to move according to his word and his purpose. And in so many ways, in so many opportunities, he's already intervened on our behalves over and over again. And that's how part of the reason why we're here. We've experienced his movement and his goodness and his deliverance. And it wasn't because of anything we contrived. It was because that's how he is. He's good. And he loved us. While we were yet sinners. Not just still his enemy, but not having any idea about what it was like to not be his enemy, because that was just all that was natural and came naturally to us. And but for his intervention, we'd have never come to know his deliverance from sin and the bondage that is therein, and his deliverance into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And that is an ever-expanding adventure.
Yeah, but what you have is I mean, the other thing that I remember Steve was talking about is like where it said, where to the children of Israel, I have outstretched my hand to a gainsaying and disobedient people.
Yes, absolutely.
And you have that, you have, and really, we're in the time at hand and the time that is now, and that, you know, you're talking about the challenging situations and these kinds of things that were, that has been this past week on these fronts. It really is the, that it's in that point where, or it's for us to take his hand. It's not that his hand's not there. It's us, for us to grab a hold of his hand,
right,
and take him. And you, we can very much, I mean, see, that's where the children of Israel in that first generation, you know, they died in the desert because they would not take that hand. They sought, they looked, they were ungrateful, they looked at the provision of not being there. They stood back, judged God and his messenger, and would not have that provision for them. They actually rejected it. I mean, it's like they slapped that hand away. And do we do the same in the situation that we are in? And really, it comes down to, you know, I look at that, man, I look at that hand being out. I mean, I look at that hand being out in the middle of situations, all over the place. I mean, you know, it be at work, or, you know, when I'm talking to Steve, or on these things, and I see a hand being stretched out towards me. And I see that where it's up to me to take hold of the hand and go forward in it. Connect with it. Follow after him. Grab a hold of him. And you see that way paved out before the children of Israel. I can see it in my life being paved out before me. I can see it in other people's lives. It being right there before them as well. Just, it's right there for them to grab a hold on to walk in. But that's a choice. That's a choice that stems with us to make. And that's where, I mean, you know, as I look at that and as I can see that, that's where we're at. There are times where we take that hand, and there's times where we don't. And I can just look back in my life, and at a certain point where I have taken that hand, it's always been a victorious thing. You were talking, James, about the battle that he's already won the war, but, you know, we have that battle before us. Yes, we have that battle before us, but we can just step in. When we step into him, we choose to believe him. We choose to trust him. We step out in faith according to his word. Man, that's when we become victorious. And that's where we become victorious. See, any other way outside that is not. Any other way outside that's presumption. Any other way outside that is, you know, doing it your own way, another way. That's pride. And that's the thing we need to absolutely just get shed of. Is being a presumption about going a different way than what the Lord simply cleared out, laid out before you. For you to become victorious in him.
Amen. Well, Steve was also talking about, as a body, you know, we're committed to moving through, what are you talking about, travails, tribulation. It's just the process, the maturing process, unfolding of, yes, Lord, I trust you to, not only trust you, but I count on you, showing up at all these things and being, above that which I could ask or think in your response to showing up in they would, you know, if we were out there in the world, these would be, you know, traumas that, you know, in most cases are life, at least life altering, if not life ending traumas. But in the Lord, we have a trust and an experience base that says, I can't wait to see how he shows up this time. He's showed up for me every other time. All along, he's shown himself to be faithful and true. He's shown himself to be loving. He's shown that he cares. And I just can't wait. I have an expectation. I can't wait to see how he shows up in this matter. Now, that's the right attitude. I'm not convinced that I stay there like I ought to. But, you know, that is, it's a humbling place to have to really cast everything that you have on him and trust for him to show up for you in a manner that only he can do. It's like you were talking about, there's no way I can get through this. This is more than, you know, there is no answer here in myself. And Lord, I trust your word. Your word says that without you I can do nothing, but with you I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So I have to believe and trust in your word and your commitment to that word to move on my behalf, because you're good.
Amen. And that place is humbling. And that place, and where also it can be humbling in the sense is because it's in that place, in the humbling place of that which is in front of you. You absolutely, like, it's hard to describe. I mean, for me, I mean, looking at this thing and going, oh my goodness, in the sense of it is just, which there is no goodness in me, so let me just throw that out there. In the sense of the direction that is counseled for me to take, looking at it going, this is huge. This is a huge step for me. I don't see how I can be able to do that step and handle the things that are put in front of me that are given for me to do. And these are the things that actually is where to humble myself and to believe His word, to believe I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's that place where you trust in Him and you actually, you seek the Lord in the midst of the situation of whatever's going on around you. You seek the Lord in the midst and you set out like face like flint to go forward in that which is put in front of you, knowing that within yourself you're not able to do these things, but with God I can, because He is well able and He can. And see, however that plays out, however that victory plays out, just doesn't matter. However that victory plays out, just doesn't matter. And that victory can look like Stephen, seeing the Lord standing at the right hand of God. That could be like Paul, getting stoned. And the victory of that is and being thrown into jail. And you see the outcome of the man accepted Jesus Christ. Of being shipwrecked. And the people of that tribe on that island that came and saved them and all these things were able to see Him. He was able to manifest the Lord of Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory. The Lord of salvation unto the people. And but you see the counsel in all those things. The counsel was to, he seen the vision. It was a counsel by the Holy Spirit when he went to the place and he got stoned. Beaten, thrown in jail. He actually wasn't stoned at that point. And you see the counsel where, you know, Paul, he gets the revelation from the Lord. And Paul's sitting in the ship. He goes, look, one of you leaves a hair of your head except the ship. Just do these things.
Most of the people that are in a church, the people on the ship listen to Paul and followed his word.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like the children of Israel, say a word fast, be quiet, go around. Seventh day, hear the horn, shout.
Yeah.
See, that obedience was an obedience unto, because they believe and they trusted the Lord and they believed the promise, that promised land was given to them. And see, they believed it to the point they obeyed it.
Yeah.
And what we have, and before we enter into that place, we have to be of that same mind. Grace covers, I mean, everything. I mean, don't hear me wrong in the sense of I've made mistakes and the Lord's covered those things. But it's that, it's in that counsel that we receive and we actually believe and go forward in. It's a place where we actually receive that promise. We can walk and stand and be victorious in. It's the place in that counsel. What happens a lot of times is the people will get the counsel. We'll get that way. That hand will be out. They say they want it. They say they want that deliverance. They say they want the promises of God. They want to operate in that kingdom. And what happens is counsel is giving unto them. What do they do? They don't do what the counsel says. They don't do what the Lord's counsel unto them is. They don't do that. And because they don't do that, they don't receive the promise. But then who do they blame? See, they blame God. Well, first the minister, usually. Then they turn around and blame God. Or all in one. I don't know which is first or which is later. Who knows? But that's what happens.
Everybody but themselves.
What's everybody but themselves?
Yeah.
For really not taking the heed to what the Word said.
how it was set up, how it was laid out before you. Didn't take heed of any of those things, and it didn't get better. And there's, that's the place where you don't, presumption will tell you, you go do your own thing, nothing works out. And that's where, you know, I was listening to Steve, and when he was talking about not in the faith, not stepping out in the faith, so-called, because it didn't line up, not stepping out in something that doesn't line up with his word. And see, that's where a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble. And people get themselves in trouble is in that. And they reject the accountability of their actions in that, or the accountability in going forward in what the Lord has.
Right.
They don't even know it half the time. They don't even see it.
Right.
And that's where the body edifies one another in these things. So it edifies it to come as the body's supposed to be. I mean, that's when you really, truly become a part of that body, is when you actually agree with those things and you go forward in those things.
It can so easily get distracted and off track. And we're so easily shaken from that which we say we're committed to. And you know, there's no excuse for that. It's just in many cases, you know, we've had somebody else doing the heavy lifting, and we actually never learned how to fight through and stand in any truth along the way to our detriment. So, it's a shiny thing, distraction so easily that does not benefit us at all in our struggle to get free of all this stupid stuff and trust the Lord.
Amen. I mean, we can turn to Hebrews and we can talk about that. I mean, I tell you right now, I get caught up in that way too often. The things that I'm talking about, it's most definitely true. Do I struggle with it? Do I get off track? Do I get easily beset in some of these things I should not and would not? Absolutely. Absolutely. And doesn't negate the truth. Doesn't negate bringing it back to what it's about. Doesn't negate going forward in that which the Lord has for us, and the victory that He has for us, and taking that hand, which is right there. It says the Lord's at hand.
That's
and,
right.
You know, in Hebrews, as you were talking about, you know, Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore we seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And those great cloud of witnesses are those that walked in faith, that stepped out in faith, that were obedient to Jesus Christ.
And the witnesses that the scripture gave testimony to in chapter 11.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And these are guys that walked it out.
Yeah.
I mean, not only do we have Jesus as the perfect example, we have these great cloud of witnesses that are right there. And these are the people that didn't have a faith like the devil, like it wasn't like the devils believe and they fear and tremble. It's not the ones that were in that state. No, they have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. These are the list of guys that are in that place. And you have, but it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And it's interesting right here. It says, let us lay aside every weight. It doesn't say, God do it for us.
It's another thing that's on us.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't say, God do it for us. God do this for me. God step out in faith for me. God do these things for me. No, it doesn't say any of those things. He's given us. Who's he given the power to? Us. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us.
You really think that was a good idea? I don't know if I'm trustworthy with that. That choice. Yeah.
It's the truth. Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting back and waiting God to do it for you, don't expect to walk in it.
Yeah.
If you're waiting back for the Lord to lay every weight and the sin that so easily beset you aside, you're going to be waiting a long time, man. You're going to get consumed. Man, put it off.
Yeah,
you do it. He's giving you the power. He's giving you the freedom of the flesh, does he not? I mean, see, before Jesus Christ, before we accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we were sold out to the flesh. We knew of no other way. But now that we know of other way, let's walk in it. See, he's giving you freedom. It's not something that you yet boast in. That's not what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's his power, it's his love, it's his spirit that he's given to you. But if you don't
actually set free from that, the power of that flesh, which was an enmity we've got.
Absolutely, absolutely. But he's given it to you. He's given you all these things. So it's nothing that we can boast of, like we have obtained it or we have it of our own accord. Or we have it because we somehow deserve it or did something to earn it or any of those things. Absolutely not. He's given it to you because he's. Because he's good. He's good.
Absolutely.
And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's interesting there. When I see that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, look, I look at them as him being the perfect example. And that being of our faith, is it something we take on Jesus' faith? See, how are we victorious? See, because look, if it relied on all on my faith, I'm done. But the relief that it is, it was his faith that completed the work. It was his faith that he became, that he overcame death. And the second, that he overcame death, the second death. It was him that walked the gap between on Abraham's, to Abraham's bosom. It was him that took the keys from Satan. It was him that paved the way. And look, if we just put our faith on him, and on his faith, I mean, then we're victorious.
Right.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Victorious. Through the cross, man, he was an open, I mean, he was beat, naked, openly hung before everybody to see. It was through his death he became victorious.
Well, you know, the shame was it was a criminal death, and he was innocent. He was not a criminal.
Absolutely. Well, then the shame also was he was just right there hanging out there for everybody to
absolutely.
See.
Absolutely. You know, the joy that was set before him is those that would come to receive through faith is deliverance and his salvation.
And his victory, right?
His victory.
He
thanked
to partake of it. The joy that was set before him. I mean, look, and that shows a key point of just his faith, his unswerving faith in God the Father, because he knew the outcome. He knew what the outcome was going to be, victorious. And when he stepped out to and became obedient unto death here, it was not in presumption, it was not out of the, it was according exactly with God's will, God the Father's will, exactly to it. See, we have that example. We're to be the same way in these things. And we're talking about stepping out in faith. That's how we're to step out in faith in. And see, when we become presumptuous, what happens is that will of the Father is laid out before us by either his word, well, it's always according to his word, or through the discipler that is set over you, he paves it out according to his word in your situation, in your particular situation. In your particular situation, and you go, yeah, that sounds good, but I'm going to go this way instead. See, that's not going to do any good. I mean, you see, we're going to go to the next part here, and you see Jesus when his struggle, his battle comes to be about. And it says, for consider him, that is Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Remember the rock. Remember, he was right at that place. He was right at that place where it looked like, Lord, I would that these things didn't come to pass, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. I mean, he knew the choice that was. I mean, he knew what he had to do, and he was praying to the point of sweating blood, striving, resisting sin. And he went, and he was obedient unto death. I mean, man, that's the counsel that I'm talking about. That's the struggle that I was talking about. Where you know that counsel before you. You know that his will before you is something that you're absolutely, I know for my sake, I'm absolutely terrified of. And absolutely, this absolutely seems impossible. And absolutely just it, not going to be able, I mean, it just looks like the thing that I absolutely don't want to do at all. I don't want to go heading down that road. I mean, because it's just, to me, it's like, oh, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but his. And when I choose to lay off, put off my own will, my own desires, to do his thing and what's set before him, the way that he has me for me to do it, it's amazing what happens. Abundantly above I can ask or think, happens. And see, then I partake of that victory. And see, it's then when I partake of that victory. But see, when I go with the wrong attitude, when I go do it not submitting unto the Lord, when I go do it with the wrong attitude, and I go do it in any other way than the way that he has it laid out for me to do, it stinks. But you know whose fault? I mean, that's nobody's fault. That's not God's fault. That's not anybody else's fault but my own. Because I didn't submit unto that. I might have been obeyed it, but I didn't submit unto his way. I mean, I say obey, not even. I mean, because if I don't go with the right attitude, what does the scripture say? It says do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a disobey. I mean, when I do it with the murmurings and disputings, I'm disobeying the Lord. How can the Lord honor that? How can the Lord honor that? He can't.
Right.
And guys, I mean, I'm telling you this, I'm speaking this from a point of knowing my fault in this.
Yeah.
Have I done that? Yes, I have done that in the sense of been victorious in it. Absolutely. Have I done that in failing in it? Absolutely.
How many times do we fail to receive from the Lord because, you know, we have this presumption and Him moving on our behalf would be honoring the dishonorable. Yeah, and He doesn't do that. That's not the way it works. He doesn't do that. And you have to move from that place. And just a simple trust in Him. But he can't honor rebellion and disobedience. And then when He doesn't show up, we cop an attitude. Like, He's not faithful. He doesn't tell the truth or something like that. And that's just so not like He is. It was our fault, and our fault completely.
Absolutely. And what a lot of times is your perspective shows, you know, it's interesting to me when I step through those situations or things, is actually I just see the Lord's grace manifested, where it just was, when I got my inverted outlook on an outlook side, I don't know how else to put it, and actually I could see the hand of the Lord in it all. And you can just see where the Lord has been gracious and His hand was out, extended through that whole time and actually covered. A lot of times the things going on and the Lord is actually in those things and you're not seeing it because you've got your eye nerves connected to your bottom.
Yeah.
But it says here, I mean, it says, you know, the contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your minds. Man, look, we know the Lord is victorious. Yeah, he went and he suffered a shameful death. But where did he go sit? On the right hand, the throne of God. And not only that, He did it that He could give us the same freedom, the same power, and for us to partake in the same way that He did. The same thing Jesus partook of the Father, we can partake of as well.
What this really takes away from you is any justification on the part of, this is mean. I didn't deserve this kind of thing. There's nobody got anything that they didn't deserve like Jesus got. Like He didn't deserve. He didn't deserve any of it.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter what kind of a raw deal you think you're getting. It wasn't as raw as that one.
Absolutely.
Because there's no case to be made. We deserve it. Absolutely. And, you know, that is a thought that if you let that thing have its head, it will make you weary and faint in your mind. Israel, this is just too hard, Lord. I don't know. How can you expect this to happen? It doesn't work this way.
And then the other side of that is, unless you be wearied and faint in your minds, you can see where Jesus was victorious. And you see the victory go throughout all Acts. You see the victory before Jesus came and died on the cross. You see in Hebrews 11 there. Yeah. You see the victory after. In Acts, you see the victory in your own life.
All right.
Don't be wearied and faint in your minds. I mean, that is something that we need to cast off because, look, but it is that way we need to take of, though. I mean, the things that we've been talking about, submitting unto Him, obeying Him, stepping out in faith according to His word, you can't go around that.
Right.
So it looks like you're wearied, you're faint.
He's the way, the truth, and the life, and his ways are the way.
He's bigger than all that. He's bigger than all that. Yep. If we would just humble ourselves,
yep,
and take heed to that, man, we can partake of that victory. We can really partake of that victory. James, you have anything?
Well, I think one important thing is in all situations, and I fail at this a lot. I open my mouth before I think of this. It'd probably stop me from opening my mouth. But anyways, is your perspective. You look at a situation in your carnal mind, like take Paul, for instance, in jail. That, I mean, who wants to be sitting in jail? You can easily become useless to the Lord in those situations, but Paul saw it as an opportunity. And that's the mindset we need to have. The situation doesn't matter. But if your mindset's that it's an opportunity to serve the Lord and show he's good, which Paul did, Jesus did on the cross, an opportunity for us.
Amen. And that's exactly it. I mean, and what do you see there? I mean, in the midst of that. I mean, I don't see in Scripture where it says, well, Paul knew how this whole thing was going to be played out. I don't see that in Scripture. I mean, do you? I mean, I don't see. And Paul.
No, but he didn't have to.
Right, but that's the point I was getting to right there. But he simply obeyed the word. I mean, what did Jesus say? What does it say? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And I'm probably messing that phrase up, but is that not what Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew?
Amen. I mean,
well, what was he doing? He was rejoicing and praising God. He was simply being obedient.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that opened the doors up for him to continue on to minister that which he was there for in the first place.
The other thing is
for the Lord to be able to move.
And I mean, the point says, I mean, gosh, if he had the wrong perspective, he could have been absolutely useless in that, in the sense of, man, I'm just in jail. You know, I mean, and then when the doors opened up, man, I need to get out of here. Poof, my way out. See, I mean, if his focus was all about him.
Well, see, and it's also an example of the agape love.
That was the one where he said, "Don't do yourself no harm. We have not gone anywhere." Some such thing as that.
I know, which is an amazing thing because they're prisoners. I'm sure when the shackles came up, you take the shackles off Leeds Avenue and just open the gates up on Leeds Avenue, it's going to be an all out riot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be an all-out riot. But they're standing there. I mean, they're standing there. Not one of us is left. No riot has broken out. I mean, the situation was amazing. When you look at it, when you just read it over quickly, you really don't get the picture of you. But I've been to jail. And I tell you what, I mean, there's about riots going on in it with all kinds of correctional officers around you.
The consequences of them getting free, the jailer knew what it was going to be ugly for him. So who's fixing to fall on his sword, man?
Well, absolutely. I mean, things were doomed. But I mean, but it's in that place, and that's the perspective that we need to grab hold on. It really is.
He was there for that jailer.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And he couldn't have been there for that jailer without that right attitude, without that obedience.
And you see, I mean, he obeyed the word of the Lord. He obeyed the spirit that was right before him. He went there. The spirit told him that to go there. Then what did he do? He obeyed in the midst of a... He gloried in a tribulation. And he rejoiced and praised the Lord as the Lord commanded. And that's a good point. Um, But if we continue on, I mean, we can go on to Hebrews in that, but I don't even know if that's really the place to continue on.
Right.
But it's actually probably be a good place to continue on as things kind of just came up as I'm looking at it. And you have forgotten the exhortation in verse 5, 12:5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chaste thing of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I mean, how many times? I mean, I know. I mean, I look at the times where, man, I am going one way. Might be very headstrong going in one direction and thinking, gosh, this is the right way to go. And yet when I get corrected and I get chastised, and I mean this chastising, I remember listening to Rick Usley, chastising leaves a mark, man. I mean it's one of absolutely going the wrong way. Look, you don't get faint when you're rebuked of a man, and you sit there, you praise the Lord that he's still dealing with you. And the other thing is that you got corrected and going an absolute wrong way. And then now that you can go in right way. You had that intervening. You had somebody telling you that's the wrong way. Your attitude's off. Everything you're engaging in is not right. And how you're going about engaging it is awful.
Right.
I mean, that chastening is for your good. That chastening is that you can get back online, get back intact with him and become victorious with him. Man, it's not for your good. It's not for your destruction. It's not for your harm. It's for your good. You have a loving father that we just read about who you knew what he strived against. He strived against sin to the sweating of blood, and then he went and became obedient unto death for you.
Yeah, if you're going the wrong way, it's going to end up in your destruction. You want the correction. You need the chastisement. Because that's the only thing that's going to save you. It stands between destruction and success in serving the Lord. Being able to please the Lord, you know. And that's the only thing that matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At the time, it might not feel good. Or even the things that are reaping from what you have sowed might not feel good. Let's continue on. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son. I mean, it just that right there shows you how much the Lord loves his people and his children. Scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son. That means, you know, I mean, you get that feeling. I mean, you're like kind of out there in the sense of you have that family. Let's say you got a big family. They're a family of seven. But you're that one that actually never gets corrected because you're just dealing with so much. I mean, the parents dealing with so much of probably three of those children. Are all six, but you're that one that's just not, you know, not getting anything because they're not paying attention to you because they're paying attention to so many other things. Well, see, that's not the Lord. There's everyone every son. To me, I see the goodness of God in that. In that sense, is because he's there. He is at hand.
Let's face it, a lazy father, a lazy who's not really all that committed to the children, especially if they're not his own children to begin with. Why would he bother? You know. If he didn't love and wasn't committed to the children, why would he bother to chasten them? Why would he bother to correct them? And, you know, that's the commitment of our Heavenly Father. He scourges every son whom he receiveth because he's committed to them. He is committed to their success. He's not a lazy, no good for nothing, dirtbag father.
Amen.
And, you know, having been in that position, I can tell you that it's the easier route to just ignore it all and leave, you know, go do your own thing. It's the harder by far and more evidence of a commitment to engage in a manner of correction and chastisement that it ends up giving your child an opportunity to be successful and to receive of the Lord the good things of the Lord.
Amen.
So,
and see, the natural man, this kind of coming up. The natural man looks at correction and chastising as some evil thing,
right?
Some bad thing. But it's not. It's actually a loving thing when it's done rightly. And we know our Father in heaven's perfect. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as chastening. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We've kind of hit some of that. I mean, you in this sense of, gosh, I mean, I don't go. I mean, I have a household, and I have my children, but I don't go and chasten somebody else's child. Not my place. I'm not going to go to the guy down the street and go chasing his child.
Right.
Not my place. Not my position.
Take a little offense at that.
What's that?
They may take a little offense at that. Sticking your nose in the...
Oh, absolutely. Might come out of there myself bloody.
That's right.
For what son is whom is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, and I look at that. I mean, look, he is in him is light, and there's no darkness at all. He's a loving Father. We subject ourselves to that chastening. We submit unto that chastening in the sense of actually repenting of the way we're going and turn around and going in that right direction. Man, that's life. That's where you live. It's when you reject that chastening, when you run away from it and you don't subject yourself to it and you get away from it, man, that's where death comes. That's where death comes. And I tell you, I can tell you from just a first hand, and not just a carnal death, Paul, but a spiritual death as well. I mean, because when I've left the ministry, that's me wanting to be without chastisement. I want to go do my own thing. I don't want to be chastised for the evil that which I am doing. I don't want to be chastised for that. So I go and I become Lord of my own life. You know what? It almost did. Almost left me for dead. You know, see, when I actually endure that chastisement and I actually take heed to it and turn around, I live. And not only do I live, I become victorious in Jesus Christ. But go ahead, Paul. You're about to say something.
I was just going to say that, you know, to the point that in some relationships, not with everybody's, but in some relationships, you give deference to that father who's in charge of that natural father who's in, and when he's not pleased and you need correction and he administers it, you receive it and with understanding and acknowledgement, deference to his position and his understanding of how things are. He's been there before. He's older than you are. He's got some experience behind him. And that's all good and profitable for you. But if you take that same commitment to the heaven, your heavenly Father, he has life at the end of all that correction. The reward is bountifully so much greater.
Absolutely. I mean, the natural one is just for you to get along in life.
Yeah.
Without dying.
To get from this thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. His is that you may receive life and receive that more abundantly.
Amen. Amen. I mean, yeah, the natural was just to get along in life, to be responsible, to be able to just hold a job, take care of yourself, and to not hurt anybody else in the process.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's just from a natural level. But you know what? At the same time, when you are a father unto your children and you know Christ, your responsibility also to them is to really show them Jesus. You point them to Jesus. And you're that example of the Father to them. But you point them to the one that does give life. And I know we got a couple minutes left, and I kind of want to go down to 11. Just read this one. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Look, at that time it might be painful. At that time, and Steve was talking about travail and birth, but there at the end of that you have a life, you have a baby, which all that time, all that struggle, all those things are just gone. It doesn't matter. The same when you receive chastisement and you're in the error, but when it's all over with and you get on the right way and become victorious in the Lord, it was all, you just praise God for the chastisement. You're pleased because it's something that was for your good. It was for your good in the same way. Just as Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, the pain and suffering he did, so he can give those he walked with life, and that more abundantly, that was the joy before him. It's the same thing. Same thing all the way around. The things that you might be going through might be a struggle, but on the end, if you would receive that which the Lord has in the midst of all those things, it's a joyous thing. And it's always good and it's always victorious when it comes to turning unto the Lord. And we're about to wrap up. Are you about to say something?
The Hebrews, you know, those that are exercised by it, if the people have submitted to it and gone through the correction and gone through the experience. And that's always to the benefit of the receiver of the chastisement. It's not about just being mean for the sake of being mean and exercising authority for the sake of flexing your muscle. It's not, that's not what it's about. It's about the profiting of the hearer, and that they get exercised by the spiritual things of the Lord and learn that experience and they trust that experience on their behalf.
Amen. And you can see that. You can see that with, you can see an examples of it now. I mean, you can see where Timothy with Paul.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here. We got to go. Until next time.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.